If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is new to me, and I'm assuming fairly new to a lot of listeners as well. I was sort of looking up your bio and everything before we did this, and it seems like you're sort of fresh on the local music scene. So I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you who are here want to introduce yourselves and what you play in the band, and then a bit of background about, you know, who you are as a group and what you do.
Sure.
For sure. Yeah, Drew, do you want to get going first?
Sure, yeah. I'm Drew. I'm the frontman, singer, and one of the guitar players in Witch Hazel. We've been a band now for about a year and a half under this name.
Okay.
Really starting to ramp it up in 2024. Ben?
My name's Ben. I play bass, holding on the low end. It's my thing. I love to do it. And it's been a good time to do it with this band. It's been a great group of guys, and we're excited to what's coming in the future.
Right on. And I mean, this is kind of the worst question that everyone hates answering, but I'm going to start off with it because, again, you're sort of a new quantity to me and to the show. But how do you define the sound of what you do? And the reason it's a shitty question is because everyone hates trying to pin it down like that, right? Everyone wants to think that their project is the most versatile and you know, genre encompassing thing ever. But if you have like a Cole's Notes version of what it is you do, how you define it, what would you say?
Jeez, we just try to have fun. We just try to make some loud noises in the basement and try to, you know, have ears in the audience that will listen to us. I think we try to draw from as many inspirations as possible. Definitely leading to harder rock
sure.
These days, but yeah, kind of finding that sound as we go.
Okay.
Yeah, like when we first started, we were very indie sounding. We definitely have some tracks that really sound like that. And lately, I don't know what it is, but we've been writing a bit more heavy stuff. Not like metal, but
sure.
Like rockier stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm sure you saw in our bio on our website, like we have, I think, four or five influences listed there, and they're very random.
Yes, it did definitely seem like that. That's why I guess kind of another reason for asking this question too.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, how do you sort of coalesce all of those things into one sound?
Mm-hmm. I think we take more of like we take a lot of maybe like harmonic guitars and stuff like that from Allman Brothers.
Okay.
But then kind of like sort of the heavier guitar tones of Neil Young, especially off tracks like Cinnamon Girl or Ohio, something like that.
Yeah.
But then kind of the lyricism and storytelling that Peach Pit kind of likes to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like a mix. You're mixing like older influences, obviously, and then more recent stuff as well, which is,
yeah.
You know.
And like, I'm sure in the tracks that we sent you, they sound quite different, like genre-wise even,
sure,
to some degree. And I remember at the start, we first started writing songs, myself in particular was like almost like insecure that they were so different.
Right.
But now I've kind of come around to them. Like, no, I think that's actually a good thing, because we're just like taking everything we have in the back pocket and using it.
Yep.
As a new band, is that sort of nebulousness, has that helped having that difficult to define thing where you could, like you said at the beginning, I mean, you had that kind of indie vibe and now you're moving more into the harder rock stuff and then you have these classic rock influences and everything like that. Have you found it's helped as far as getting shows, as far as sort of placing yourselves within the local music scene, just having that difficult to define sound?
It's definitely been a challenge. I feel like I haven't fit a niche specifically within Winnipeg yet. I feel like we're doing it. It might be a little bit different. I hate to hate to, you know, come off as a little bit presumptuous there, but I feel like we are doing stuff slightly differently to what a lot of people in the scene are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that to some degree, for sure.
Do you think you've sort of figured out where you fit? I mean, are there other bands, I guess, at this point that you've played with or you've seen at local shows that you think, okay, what they're doing would go well, whether you play with them or not, I guess, with what we do? Has that come up?
Yeah, definitely. But it's also like, oh, like that one song that we have really fits with these guys. Or right. Like that one song that we have fits with them. Out of all the bands we played with, like we were playing with Synthetic Friend on the 14th of June. And I don't think have we played with them before, Ben?
Nope.
They're gonna, yeah, okay, we haven't. Yeah, we played, some of them are in another band that we've played with.
Okay.
And I've seen them 3 or 4 times now. I'm like, man, these guys would be sweet to play with. And they're not necessarily like the same vibe as us, but it's almost like a
they're touch
sides of the same coin. Yeah.
Go well together, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Come on down to the castle zone. confused with something that it isn't.
Well, I guess, I mean, and the reason I asked that question, I realize also, like, you know, being a relatively new band, that's harder to define, too. If you've been around for 10 years, I mean, you sort of have, you know where you fit, right? You've developed your sort of, your audience, your people, the bands that fit with you. But I guess, like, well, first of all, this band's been around for, we said, what, a year and a half or so?
A year and a half under this name, yeah.
That's coming in sort of right after the pandemic. I mean, you know, maybe there's a little bit of leeway between when things were really bad and then and when you started your band, but... is this, like, was any part of this a pandemic project, or is this something that started strictly after things were finished and shows were happening again and that kind of stuff?
It kind of started off just like we wanted to put on a party after the pandemic, after things had loosened up.
Okay.
Just started off as like, hey, we're going to play some covers, we're going to play to some friends and just like do this. It kind of has sprouted into now a legitimate project where we're writing songs and then recording music.
Yeah.
So it sprouted from a point of, oh, let's just try to get people together again to where we're at now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned recorded music. I mean, that's kind of why we're doing this now, is that you have music that's pretty much set to come out. I know you've released, you've done the thing that people do now where a single comes out ahead of time and you sort of hype people up for the release. But what can you tell me about the record that's imminent at the time of recording this?
A long time coming.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, we've been sitting on these songs now for maybe about a year. And our drummer, Christian, was always the one who was like, hey, we need to wait. We need to really polish them before we get into the studio. We don't want to jump the gun on it or anything like that. And I'm very glad that we listened to him, because I think he was very right. There's some things we added here and there into the songs that just give that little bit, 10% more. But yeah, we thought of the catalog that we have of songs, we thought these four would be a good four to start with. They hit pretty hard, and they definitely reach, there's a good variety, there's like a little bit of something for everybody in all four of the songs, so definitely. Thought it'd be a good way to start.
Mm-hmm. cool. And then, you know, with these songs, like you said again just a few minutes ago, that they've been around for a while, you've been working on this, on getting this EP together for some time. Did these songs feel old to you now, like at this point, now that you've spent so much time on these, are you ready to sort of move on to, do you have new stuff in the works? And the reason I ask that now is because obviously you're going to want to play these songs a whole lot now that they're being released, right? So has the sound shifted at all in the time between you sort of finally got this put together and then where you are now as a band?
I think, yeah. So when we first wrote these songs, it's, we had them ready to what we thought was going to be good. And then playing them live, playing them, you know, throughout rehearsal, having them evolve over time. I think the one thing that we're really looking forward to after releasing music is now having some time to write more music. Throughout this, the whole time, it was always, oh, like, we're going to take some time off and write some more music. Oh, someone's offer us a show. Great. We need to take this. We're saving up for the EP, for the studio. And so I think now with that out and us, you know, playing a good string of shows here, and it'll be nice to get back to writing music. I think that's something I really enjoy. And it's a big part of why we play music in the first place. And we're all looking forward to getting back to that.
Cool.
Yeah. Not tired of playing the songs yet, though.
That's good.
And I think having them released and then playing them live might add a new dynamic to some degree. You know, you might get the odd person, the crowd that actually knows the lyrics, which would be quite fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's also added pressure because now they can listen to the song and be like, oh, they messed up that solo or what have you. But
they can compare. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
to avoid the genre thing, you're essentially a rock band, right? I mean, does that work as a description?
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people I talk to on this show, like, they're doing vastly different things from, like, I could be talking to a death metal band or, like, an electronic thing or a country singer or whatever.
Sure.
I imagine that you guys, being the type of band you are and listening to the recordings, that you can probably pull off fairly faithful versions of those songs on stage, right? Is there anything that you can't do from the recorded versions to the live setting? Or does anything change, structurally or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, like, there's a little bit of keyboard.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm just finding someone that would want to play keys at this point, really.
Yeah. We could probably survive without it for a few shows, but if, like, you know, people start saying, like, oh, I love the keyboard bit in that one bit, in that one song, then, yeah, I'd consider it. But, and, like, we layered guitars, but, I mean, like, everybody does that. So as long as, like, live versus recorded is such a different, like, sound. So I think we've practiced them enough that they'll definitely hit home. So
Do you think that there's a obviously, like we just finished saying, that you can play them fairly faithfully, it's not going to be that much different from live to recorded version, but as far as the energy and, like, I mean, when you guys play live, does that get ramped up? Are they faster, are they heavier, are they, you know, louder, that kind of thing? I mean, louder obviously, but does the sort of the emotion behind them change at all when you're in a live setting versus sitting down and sort of meticulously recording them?
Yeah, I think that's just the nature, the way it is playing live.
Like, yeah.
I don't think I've seen anybody get such a stank face playing live as Ben does when he's playing bass.
Yeah,
it's great. It's not bad at all. It's like the best thing. Everybody, at least after every single show, at least one person comments on it. And it's like, yeah, the guy's just living life.
Yeah, absolutely. And feeding off the energy of the crowd too. Really feeds the energy of the songs and the music.
Yeah, playing fast. Yeah, I think that's just what happens when you play live too. You get the nerves and you just increase the BPM a little bit.
Yeah. You can't help it, right? It's just
yeah.
Is there pressure on the staying face now? Now that, I mean, especially now that you're sort of people recognize it in you, and now it's been talked about in a podcast. People would be looking for it. Like, I imagine it's just something that happens naturally when you're playing, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on par with, like, Joe Walsh or, like, Santana.
You don't agree?
maybe if you maybe after a few more tours.
yeah. Right on. So you put out some music already. I mean, this is coming out, what's the release date of the EP actually?
May 28th.
So this, I mean, by the time people hear this, it'll be out, you can get it right away. But leading up to the release, I mean, you've done the single thing. What has the response been to the stuff you've put out already at the time of recording this?
Pretty surreal, I guess. Like, we didn't really know how to do marketing or, like, even just planning content or anything like that, or even using a distribution service. Like, this was all new to us. There's a lot of learning and a lot of stress going in behind it. But, you know, downloading the Spotify for artists and like, just seeing all the analytics, it's pretty interesting because, like, just the other day I was looking, I'm like, oh, there's a listener in Los Angeles. And, like, New Zealand and the Netherlands. I'm like, how does that even happen?
How did they find it?
It's fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's something that hasn't, I haven't played in a band in more than a decade now. And I mean, there was a little bit of that then, but even in that short amount of time, I mean, the amount of extra stuff you have to do being in a band, you have to be your own publicist, you got to be doing all the marketing, all the social media stuff, looking at the analytics, all of that. Did you have any idea how much of that would be part of being in a band? Because it's not just making music anymore, right? There's this whole, especially if you're doing it all independently in DIY, there's this whole other side of things. What has it been like?
I think it's been a great learning experience. It's been good to just, like, you know, dive in deep to something that you're truly passionate about. And, you know, doing all the nitty gritty of what needs to be done. Yeah. I think it's really important part. It's a good life skill as well. So yeah, I've been enjoying it.
It's definitely stressful though.
But then you get the benefit of seeing things like, hey, there's this random guy in New Zealand who listened to it somehow discovered it. So if people are hearing about you for the first time on the show and they want to hear more, what's the best way to find your music? I mean, these days everyone's got music up on every streaming service known to man, but where would you send someone if someone wants to hear about you for the first time and then check out what you're about, music, videos, things like that?
Probably just our Instagram. That's our most active thing. at WitchHazelWPG. We also have a website, WitchHazelBand.com. We're not as active on it, but it's more just like for show, I guess. You know, there's like there's the links, there's like YouTube. You can fill out an order form for our shirts and all that kind of stuff. But yeah,
but it works.
Anybody well, new?
Kind of like a yeah. Line, almost kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was on there today, so obviously we're. I was looking at your bio and stuff, so people do use it about at least one. What's the, you know, at the time of recording this, it's a podcast, so someone could hear it the day it comes out, or they could hear it like a year and a half from now. I can't see myself ever stopping this, apparently, so, you know, it could be 5 years from now, whatever. If you're still a band, what's the way for, like, I guess, first question is, at the moment we're recording this, do you have anything planned in the relatively near future as far as shows? So if someone's listening to this end of May, beginning of June, is there anything coming up that you want to plug that they could check out live?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd say the big one is that June 14th, the Handsome Daughter are going to be having the EP release show.
Yeah, I partnered with Real Love on that one.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. I think that's our second show with them. First time we were like headlining with them. Yeah, like I mentioned before, we're playing with Synthetic Friend and Cerulean Drift. Okay. So yeah, it should be a really, really good show. Yeah.
And then as far as future shows, you know, again, if someone hears this at some future time, is the Instagram the best place to go to find out where you're playing and what's going on like that?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Like most people these days, Instagram is like the number one hub for everything. So. Yeah.
And is this strictly a digital release or are you doing physical copies as well?
Digital for sure. Yeah. Physicals, don't have the cash for that yet, fortunately, but I think just for years, I mean, it's a small first release, so I think a physical medium wouldn't necessarily hold to some degree.
Okay. I'm always curious about that because I'm old and set in my ways and I don't have any streaming subscriptions and all I listen to is tapes and records and CDs because it doesn't matter. I've talked about this at length on other episodes, but I always wonder because I mean, it's possible to just release something completely digitally and you don't need to do that anymore, right? I mean, we're in an era where it's not even that unusual to just digital.
Yeah, that's status quo at this point, yeah.
What is, what's your experience just as music listeners as far as that? Are you both sort of very much in the digital streaming realm?
Yeah, for sure.
You okay, digital time, throw on some old vinyl, but it's just everyday use, put it on the car, go to the gym, it's streaming.
Yeah. I'm ashamed to say that Ben and I are both on Apple Music and not on Spotify. So I feel like a lot of people might get after us for that.
Well, the good thing is you're talking to me and I don't know how to use either of them. So
okay, there we go.
One of them is as good as the other. It doesn't matter to me, but yeah. Okay, awesome. So what is the name of the EP so someone can look it up if they are trying to find it?
It's called Casaroso. Casaroso.
Awesome.
Yeah.